Hey, 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 it is your weekly Corner Späti. It is me, Nick, and I am joined with Uma.
Hello. Joined by.
No. Joined by. Same thing. Fucking prepositions. Don't. According to linguistics, everything that comes out of my mouth is correct because I'm a native speaker.
There you go.
All right? So leave me alone. Joined by, joined with. Shush. How about that? Shut the fuck up. All right. This is the episode where we finally come clean that, yes, we are a misogynistic podcast.
And we hate each other.
We hate women and we hate each other. Exactly. I had something a bit different planned for today.
Okay.
And then I'm kind of glad that we paused this out of necessity. And then the world decided to get cool and weird. And then the episode is going to be a bit odder. So I wanted to prepare for the class a presentation on the Munich Security Conference, because it was like 2-3 weeks ago now at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that we've had like enough time to like digest it. And then everything that happened at it like came true. So
no, literally, yeah.
I don't know how to go about this. So I feel that then it's like every day when we come and talk, or every year when we come back and talk about MSC, which we're going to call it that because we're in the know now. All right. I feel that just every year it's just like us, like soy face reacting to it, being like, oh, did you see JD Vance was racist? And
yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly. I feel like, especially since the invasion of Ukraine, every year is just kind of the same thing as well.
Just yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
We pretend to be shocked, but we're like, "Why?" Like, it's yeah, it's the same topic,
yeah.
The same.
It's
people.
European soy face, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just
yeah.
Like, oh my god, can you believe that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
JD Vance is supporting the AFD.
Exactly.
So, what I thought would then be more interesting for the audience is just to give a brief kind of breakdown of how and what MSC is, how it came about, all that, and then we can kind of like talk into then the sense of the reality hellscape that we live in post I don't know, what, Israel preventing war by doing war or some shit, I don't know.
Yeah,
like the last, like, you know, the norm of the last 3 years.
Exactly.
So I think the thing that I found that is the absolute funniest thing about MSC is who started it, in classic German fashion. All right. So it starts in 1962 with a really odd guy who, all right, trigger warning for the audience. We have German aristocracy here. All right. We have a Fawn. All right. We have Ewald Heinrich. Two names with a little, you know, dash in the middle, so you know he's psycho.
Yeah.
Fawn, yeah. Kleist,
oh,
Schmensen.
Well.
Fawn. Oh my god, yeah, he's a Fawn. So he has first name, Bundesstrich.
He has double name.
Double name with a hyphen. Double last name with a hyphen. So you know he's real,
oh,
hardcore.
My god.
And I've never heard of this man before, which is kind of weird for someone who loves Germany so much. But he, like, the thing that I found really peculiar with him is that then when he starts the MSC in 1962 and kind of like people have like known about his family's history and this and that, he does the typical post World War II thing of my family, we always hated the Nazis. Yes, I was really high up in the Wehrmacht, and he ends up becoming part of Stauffenberg, or AKA Tom Cruise's inner ring. With the plot against Hitler's assassination, and it was apparently like lined up to do like a suicide bombing attack, like for a second attempt, which hilarious.
Coward, why
that,
did he go through with
yeah,
it?
Yeah, right.
What the
yeah,
fuck?
Instead, he's now doing a fucking defense seminar thing. But it is, but this is where I, you know, red flag kind of went off immediately, where he's like, no, my family were proud monarchists. We were not Nazis and we hated them. So what that means is that between the years of 1933 and 1945, my family really liked the Nazis.
Yeah.
And then immediately post 1945, JK, LOL, we were the exact same political ideology as them. We just wanted the Kaiser back.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Trust us, We hated the Nazis. We volunteered for the Wehrmacht. I don't know, maybe, I mean, the Wehrmacht did have forced conscription, but anyway, you don't stick in and end up in the like inner circle of like SS functionaries just by like chilling.
Yeah.
And it's always that thing too, that then when people forget about Stauffenberg, that then Stauffenberg was a hyper committed Nazi. He just didn't like Hitler. He liked all the anti-Semitism. He liked the Holocaust. He liked this. He liked that. He just thought that Hitler was losing the war for them, which was true.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like Stauffenberg for those who forget, was very much a Nazi. You know, the idea of like the white hat Nazi is a very funny fantasy in like liberal, you know, like the liberal imagination of like, oh, these guys who were like in the inner circle of like doing, you know, actual genocide throughout Europe were actually like, oh, they were well intentioned.
Yeah.
So that was something that then that like that really hit me as funny, is that then of course we're dealing with a guy who then has just been who is a rehabilitated Nazi, ends up then going doing the most like right wing psychopath thing in Europe, which is just becoming a defense nerd in the 60s, and starts this rather small event in 1962. The first one had like Henry Kissinger and people like that come, you know. It's a very tight group of psychopaths destroying the world. But yeah, so it was like from 1962 to 1998, he just kind of like has his, he heads the event, you know, he's the, you know, big man in charge, and kind of is just like a low key nerd fest of defense people, right? Like it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And the thing that then I always kind of found that was very interesting with MSC, even leading up into the sense of like the 21st century, obviously after 1999, it changes hands and it's kind of become like a hype, more like professionalized event. But and this is coming with a bit of criticism to it, but like it used to be a rather like critical platform for defense debates, right? Like, there were delegations from like Iran that would be invited, and not like fake Iran, like the actual Iranian government. Russia would constantly go, China would go, and they would be on these panels talking about their positions on foreign policy and defense and stuff like that. Whether the, you know, how much they were listened to is a bit questionable, but nonetheless, they were there. And a very funny bit of insight that I know from a friend of mine who went to MSC during COVID is that allegedly the Iranian delegation gave everyone COVID, which is very funny.
That is such a random fact.
It is. Yes. A friend of mine went to go cover the Munich Security Conference. And this is when this is the beginning of COVID, too. So shit was like, is like early 2020. But, remember, this happened. Yeah, this happens in February, and the Iranian delegation comes and are apparently just sick of shit, coughing all over everyone, this and that and that. And it was like one of the first big super spreader events.
That is so funny.
Salute to Iran again.
That is hilarious, because it's also like there's a bunch of old politicians in there, so someone, you know,
Iran sending their sickest boys to you know, do a biological attack
exactly
on the United States. But yeah, I mean, again, this is an allegedly. I'm throwing that. I gotta throw one of those out there. But yeah, it was very funny that then a friend of mine was like, I went there, I got COVID really fucking early, because the Iranian delegation just like went beast mode, COVID style, on everyone. And I think that was very funny. This is also before too, like, there were any restrictions of getting into the country. And Germany, you needed to have, the thing that was very funny with getting the COVID test back then is that then you had to then get proof that then that like X amount of people had tested positive for COVID or whatever in order to get a test. Back in the day.
Really?
You don't remember, like see, we forget really early COVID.
Yeah, but I guess it was very different in Germany than in Spain, though.
You were living here, though.
No, I wasn't.
You weren't living in Germany in COVID?
August 2020. But like the worst. Wait.
So you moved here.
I moved to Berlin in August 2020, yeah.
Why did I think that you were there for longer?
I don't know.
Oh, wow. Here, you know,
I literally
congratulations
moved, like,
to you, listener. You get to experience me real-time learning something about my co-host.
You're like, wait, you weren't born in Germany?
Wait, you weren't what? You're not German?
Huh? What?
Oh, I just thought you learned Catalan for fun.
Yeah, like Kieran with Esperanto.
Exactly. Yeah. You're like, yeah, whatever the Catalan word for weeb would be is what you're just German and you're really into this. Or like how like Germans are really into Ireland for whatever reason.
Yeah, but they're into Ireland like Americans are into Ireland, like very just like Ireland is this mythical land of fairies and, you know, and
Exactly. Well, that's you. That's you and your Germanness with Catalonia, no?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, but I guess you're actually from there. Crazy. I learned something new today. But yeah. Anyway, back to.
No, sorry. It's just like that. I remember because in Spain it was so lockdown was so hard. And then people in Germany were complaining. It's like, you could still go for a walk. We could not leave our houses in Spain. Like this was jail, you know?
Yeah. No, it was, sorry. We were on the precipice of full blown authoritarianism because you needed a test that you could easily fake to like go have dinner.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. I know.
What do you mean you had to get like multiple people to test positive to get like, that's so weird.
No, yeah. Early, remember, Germany doesn't function. So like the early,
they didn't have enough tests.
No. Yeah. So the early way of getting tests is that then you had to have been at an event that had like a COVID breakout, which is also very weird because it creates that like bureaucratic feedback loop of that. Then how do you get one of those to begin with? Yeah. You know? So
yeah.
A lot of people that had to go, like a lot of people who were at Munich Security Conference then went and had to go get tests. And for a lot of them, it was very difficult because then it had to have been proven that then people who were there were testing positive. So anyway, tidbit of information I think is very funny. Salute to the Islamic Republic for that one. You'll be getting a lot more salutes throughout this episode, mind you.
Hmm.
But anyway, back to then Munich Security Conference. So the thing that then kind of like, as mentioned before, of that the Munich Security Conference kind of came off as a much more critical event, and I think that there's maybe three main things that kind of come to mind of the average person that happened here that they may not actually know that then was actually at the Munich Security Conference. One of the biggest ones that then I didn't even know was there was then when Joschka Fischer, who at the time was Germany Foreign Minister, Green's mm-hmm. guy, kind of publicly like denounces the US's willingness and desire to go to war like with Iraq with like WMD findings and this and that and that. And that's kind of like the first big event where then Joschka Fischer comes out and he's like just being like, I don't believe this bullshit. You know? Which for Germany, who is then now in hindsight America's like second biggest cuck in the world, it's very interesting kind of to see that then it isn't just like a cheerleading event for NATO like it is now. So yeah, Joschka Fischer then in 2003 kind of gives this like big, you know, statement in the sense that he doesn't believe the United States in their findings. And surprise, surprise, he was 100% correct. Does not mean that Germany didn't go into Iraq eventually. Germans love doing this thing where they're like, oh, well, we went to Afghanistan and like we like hesitated with Iraq. And it's like, yeah, but baby, you're in both of those now. Or at least, you know, you were in Afghanistan until they like, you know, took them out. But you're still in Iraq and that might be a problem. Yeah. And another one of the really big events too that then was there is that in 2007, Vladimir Putin gave like one of the big keynote speeches, which to think of in 2020, well, post Ukraine war world is psychotic, like would never happen. And it's very, you know, in, I mean, if you know of Putin's argumentation, you know, pre-Ukraine war stuff, it was very much in the sense of like, oh, you know, being very hypocritical, like, you know, the West is very hypocritical, you know, Russia is, you know, trying to do peace, this and that, NATO's a problem, blah, 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 blah. I had a conversation with a friend about this actually the other day of that, that it's like the people that are weirdly still pro Putin, I think just like have this moment of him encased in amber, thinking that then they're like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No. Like Russia doesn't want, you know, aggression, and Russia doesn't want this, and Russia doesn't want that. And it's like, yeah, like you're like, your view of Putin has not changed in 20 years.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah. And as you mentioned then, like previously, of that, then now it is very clear that the vibe of the Munich Security Conference has changed drastically post Ukraine. And we've talked, like I mentioned earlier, we've talked about this on kind of a more general level, where it's like, you know, soy facing react over whoever JD Vance's really racist Save Europe white nationalist speech from last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of then, and the discussions that then happened this year, I feel were even odder, because it was the exact same thing, but then Europe didn't really react to it.
Yeah.
Like, I know that then I saw people, one of the big events that then happened this year was, of course, Marco Rubio's speech, where then he kind of breaks down, you know, actually weirdly correctly does the Marxist analysis that then, because of NATO, the European Union was allowed to then build a social welfare state, which he said was bad and probably, I also assume he thinks, is gay. And that he is really then hammering down on like the America first, and by America doing America first stuff, it's like also going to save the West.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hard, like, you know, borders, migration, you know, like the survival of the West, the United States being the only country who's acting on the declining of the West and how Trump is going to save us, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is not much different than J.D. Vance's speech from last year. However, Marco Rubio got a standing ovation.
Oh, my God.
And they fucking loved it.
It's so embarrassing. It's just, it's what you were saying. It's just like a NATO, like pro-NATO, kind of like pro-USA conference.
Yeah.
No, it's just.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the sense, too, because it's like, this isn't something that then happened. It had been happening a bit more post-Ukraine. I think that then the thing that really kind of you see the changing of attitude is actually right before Ukraine. So in 2022, right before Russia then, you know, kind of kicks off the next step of their military aggression in the country, Russia then doesn't go. All right. Like, and I don't really remember if necessarily that they're uninvited or if they just don't send any delegates, but it kind of then becomes clear that then this is like with Russia not sending people, and they're not really being a discussion in the sense, and to be very fair, I think it's in the attitude that then Russia at this point before the invasion feels that they're just kind of being drowned out by, you know, that crowd, if they were to go to Munich and do this thing, that they're not really going to be heard, which, like, to be fair, they probably weren't going to. It was also then kind of clear at that point, now in hindsight, that then that Russia was very much like building up military installations and stuff like that throughout Belarus and on like the, you know, the western part of the country, etc., etc., etc. It was also on the back of then simultaneously a bunch of UN talks that were happening between Russia and whatnot. But even right before Ukraine, the attitudes then towards Russia at the Munich Security Conference had changed rather drastically. Fast forward to now, they don't send anyone. They're probably like, they're not welcome. There's not going to be, if there is a discussion about Ukraine, it's going to be everyone, you know, it's going to be the most psychotic European Union officials being like, we need to fight till every last Ukrainian is dead or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Vladimir Zelensky will come and make a fucking speech of like, give us money or something like that, whatever. But the funniest European official this year, in my opinion, is our show favorite, Kaya Kallas, who said nothing of importance except for that then that she quotes Marvel shit at one point.
No, she did not.
Yeah, 100%.
What? How did I miss that? That is insanity. What the fuck? I need to look this up.
Yeah, I did not pull the quote because I didn't want to disgust myself. But yeah, she just is like, oh, as like the Marvel Cinematic Universe says. And I'm like, girl, I'm tuning out. I can.
I'm tuning it. No. Yeah.
It's real. It's real. It's no, real. It's
I know,
real.
You I don't, know. I was yeah, believing yeah. you, but I needed to see. Oh, that's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
And she says, let me
What does she say?
Let me take more inspiration from the Marvel Universe. Heroes are made. What the fuck? Heroes are made by the paths they choose, not the powers they are graced with. That is so embarrassing. It's like
that's so cool.
It's like Meloni with Tolkien. Like the Hobbit.
But to be fair to Meloni, I do appreciate her. Someone's gonna like chop this up and say that I'm like a Meloni supporter.
Cancelled.
Now. It is Meloni does do that thing where it's like a person who's only seen Boss Baby, and it's like, wow, this is giving real Boss Baby vibe because she is. She is a massive Tolkien nerd. So the idea of that then when she gets the opportunity to be like, you know, this really reminds me of when Frodo did this or whatever. And you're like, queen, you've been waiting to do that because everything in your head is just Lord of the Rings. So, yeah. But like, to be fair, that also like. Lines up for her being a white nationalist, being a little bit too into Tolkien.
Into Tolkien, yeah.
Kaya Kallas just being like the poster child for like spineless Americanism nonsense is also perfect because there is nothing more culturally void than the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
But who are her advisors, because that's crazy. You're already the butt of the joke. Like nobody likes
her advisors
you.
Are Captain America,
Tony Stark,
Tony Stark. I don't fucking know. Doctor Strange, is he MCU? I don't fucking know. I don't know that. Like I don't know who is who. But Batman, I know is DC. That's it. That's all I know.
The eternal fight.
Spider-Man's also one of her advisors. Spider-Man's Marvel, right?
Yeah, the 16-year-old version, though.
The 16-year-old black kid.
No, that's insane because, like, you're already... Nobody respects you. Everybody makes fun of you, even in the EU. Like, nobody cares for you. And then you go and fucking quote Marvel. That is so embarrassing.
So cool. That is so cool.
I would have not like that was me at 14 quoting like what are you doing, woman?
Yeah. No, Kaya Kallas has the brain of a 14-year-old girl. Yeah, which is cool.
Clearly, oh my god,
The thing that's even funnier about it is that even the fucking like generic like 2000 Spider-Man movie had like you could have done the with great power comes great responsibility. Like that's the fucking level of quote that she could have done that would have even made it would have been a little bit better.
Yeah, because everybody quotes that. Quote, so
exactly. Yeah, yes, yeah. I would have loved that, but no. She's just like, fucking watered down MCU. We love it. But so that was just. There is nothing else of Kaya. I think Kaya Kallas' speech is like 9 minutes long. Did not really matter for anything else of it. But that was one thing that then just like, just immediately like clocked me, and I was like, I hate this. this is everything. This is everything that then is horrible with. Everything at the moment is that then I'm at the like pedophile defense seminar
and I'm being
quoted by fucking Marvel. Yeah. But now then I think this is like a perfect segue to then the world at large right now is that then. So the best part about MSC is that then remember in the past, you know, far more critical event, you know, Iran would come. They would have, you know, Iran would get, you know, their delegation to come and be like, hey, here's what we're fucking doing. It's chill. this and that, whatever. Remember, they also brought COVID one year. Iran was uninvited this year. Again, really setting into the fact that this is the NATO cheerleading Olympics. And Reza Pahlavi was invited.
Of course he was. Yeah.
I didn't look, to save my own sanity, I did not look up anything. He had a speech that then was just fucking done. It was just a press conference of him being like, I am the rightful heir of whatever Iran, this and that and that, blah, 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 blah. The fact that this man was invited is also just insanely psychotic, because even if, like, you know, the Ayatollah, I'm RIP, the Ayatollah, you know, has been removed, unfortunately, by Israel. The idea that then that they're just going to like put back in the Pahlavi family is the most wishful Western deranged psychotic thinking that even the West doesn't believe in. And so there's a hilarious moment where then Pahlavi is on like a panel with a bunch of fucking losers who I don't remember. I remember one of them is Lindsey Graham.
Oh,
all right. You know, our favorite closeted homosexual from the Trump administration.
Yep.
And they ask Lindsey Graham on face value of like, oh, do you think that like will the United States install Pahlavi as a leader? And then he just straight up says no. Like, he's like, I don't think he has it, you know, whatever. And Reza Pahlavi is just sitting there with just like passion burning in him that he's like, oh no, like I'm not getting the thing that I want. I am not becoming the rightful heir. Which I think is like, even if, you know, what the United States just entirely topples the Iranian government, the Pahlavi family will never come back into power. I think that that is the most unrealistic, you know, wishful fucking thinking from your most favorite international cult. That's right. The Shahists.
Yeah.
And then as well too, this year, there was a protest in front of the MSC. I don't know if it's a protest, if you're going there to like cheer them on, a gathering of the Shahist juggalos, if you will. And they were there to like, you know, cheer on Reza Pahlavi for regime change, all this other stuff. And I think the funniest thing about all of it is that then it is like, it's one of these instances where then people realize that these people are fascists, because then, you know, it's whatever, 250,000 people. Mind you, the Pahlavi movement is mostly like, is one of the fakest things on earth, where I'm pretty sure that most of the people that then were there were paid to be there, which is something that they do quite a lot of. But then they're just chanting shit like death to Arabs and whatnot and stuff like that. And then people being like, oh, wait, I thought this was supposed to be like a peace movement. Blah, 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 blah. And then seeing people posting being like, oh, I'm so uncomfortable with like these pro-Iran protesters being like hyper pro-violence. Yeah. And I find it a bit telling too that then that we have then the NATO, you know, cheer off from whatever, 2-3 weeks ago now at this point, to then now actual military action then being taken by the United States and its Zionist appendage, Israel. And everything that then was talked about there, I guess, has been like, you know, more or less proven correct. So here we are now today,
yeah,
post-MSC, which I feel that then was really, it's one of these things too that then I always wonder of like, is it really that important to like pay attention to kind of these events where it is just like these losers spewing out the kind of same thing forever and always. You know, I'm a bit like on the fence of it too. I mean, like of, does it really make a difference that then that like they invited no one from the Iranian delegation and then replaced him with Pahlavi? Or is that just that then like the era that we are in politics, especially in this regard? Like, I don't necessarily think that they're connected. I guess it's just the sense that it is like perfect timing, you know?
Yeah. What's happening right now in the world, like the whole thing with Iran has been so weird. as someone, I will say I didn't know much about like Iran as a country, the government, the Shah, everything. Well,
good for you, because the average European or the average person does not do.
No, I know, like, I know. So I won't pretend to, like, you know, that I was educated on the topic or the matter or whatever. But just seeing, like, the protests, the pro, like, monarchy, Iranian monarchy protests, and, like, you could see more Israeli flags than Iranian flags in any
hell
of these protests.
Fucking yeah.
It was already, like, guys, isn't something weird happening here? Like, and it's been really weird to see people that, like, I know are anti-Zionist just go insane with this topic and even go to these marches and, like, march with someone, like, next to someone who has a fucking Israeli flag on them.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the thing too of that. Then I've, like, mentioned this multiple times. I don't know if it's on the show or just, like, in passing, of, like, the Iranian flag with the lion on it is a terrorist symbol. Like, view it. I mean, like, you should view it in a similar way that you view the Israeli flag or, like, the Confederate flag or, like, a swastika or something like that. Like, it is a symbol of Iranian fascism. The people that then that, like, I agree, it is very weird in the sense, too, of that then I would see people that then would be like, oh, yeah, very, like, I'm anti-Zionist, this and that and that. Oh, you know, because it was like twofold, right? It was like Venezuela and then Iran. And then I'd be like, oh, yeah. And this is kind of the thing, too, of, like, where the aspect that then that people are like, oh, Israeli propaganda doesn't work anymore. It's like, well, it actually does, just not on Gaza, you know, right? Like, the amount of that then, to all the people that then that were, like, spending their time like copy and pasting, like, yes, were there legitimate protests in Iran? Yes, of course. Like, is there problems with the Iranian, you know, government and this and that with the Islamic Republic? Yes, of course. Do you need to post about it when you don't know of anything that's going on? Probably not. Are you also then culpable within the sense of gathering support for a, you know, Zionist Western intervention of Iran by posting? And I would argue yes. You know, the sense of, it's like, I think that there's a lot of time where the left gets duped on things where it's like, oh, I want to be a good person, this and that, da 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 da. Well, Iran has, you know, the Islamic Republic, they don't like women and this and that. I don't know anything that's going on there. I don't know that actually there's been a lot of reforms happening in, you know, wake of the, you know, the protests that have been happening in the country, and that then, you know, maybe there's a lot more to this. Maybe that's, like, one of the most sanctioned countries on earth. And I'm not going to look into any of that. I want to feel good about myself in post. Same thing with Venezuela, right? You know, it was like, oh, I don't like Maduro. You know, oh, he's a dictator. He's corrupt. He's this, he's that. You know, but, you know, Chavismo's really not leftism if you think about it, right? Because it's a bit nationalistic. You know, maybe it's bad that, you know, like, oh, you know that. Well, you know, the U.S. doesn't get Venezuelan oil, but you know who does? Russia and Cuba and China. Like, if you thought about that. And it's like, then there's like the weird quasi quiet regime change in Venezuela. And now Cuba's not getting any oil and is being starved to death. Are you also guilty as well if you constantly posted in the sense of being like, oh, well, you know, doing the, like, the little perfect leftism posting about, oh, well, actually with Venezuela. Mm-mm. Yes, you were also guilty of that, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Like, it is a very weird dichotomy that then is like,
yeah.
I'm not saying that you have to be a fucking, like, expert on everything, but it is like a lot of people fell for, like, Western Zionist propaganda regarding that type of stuff.
It is such a thin line. It is as a dichotomy as you were saying, because you don't want to be the person that is like, no, I'm not going to say anything because I don't know enough about it. Because, like, how many times have we heard that about people that didn't want to support Palestine, right? Like, no, it's so complicated.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it because I don't know enough about it. Da, 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 da. So you don't want to be that person. But then for some people, it's so easy to then fall into what you were saying, like the Western Zionist propaganda, instead of, like, because they don't want to stay silent on something that matters, but then they choose. Maybe they were, like, well-intentioned, but then they choose the wrong thing to post or to say or to, you know.
Yeah, I think that then the main difference with Palestine in this too is that then it has been, you know, there is because you have like the two aspects of it, right? You have the historical one that then has been going on for 80 years. It's an apartheid state. There's a lot more that then is kind of like at the like front of that. Then there's like that you can like kind of grasp onto and learn and be like, this is an immediate evil. And to the person that then may have taken a couple of months to come around to that, I think is also fine. Like, mm-hmm. It's not like I can understand the sense of the person that then who saw October 7th and was disgusted by it and this and that, because that's our natural reaction to then any form of like, you know, quote unquote terrorism. Right. Mm-hmm. Is that then if we don't understand the reasoning of how then October 7th kind of comes about as a historical thing, it seems as like
the an initial reaction is, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And so you're like, oh, well, I saw, you know, there were people at like a dance festival and this and that's really tragic. And then, you know, eventually over time, after months of then seeing Israel's just relentless, brutal, genocidal aggression, people then kind of coming around and being like, oh, OK, no, I support Palestine. Iran like came and went out of the media sphere in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, like it is this thing of that. Then that's where I think it's a bit different, is that then it feels a lot more. Again, like I said, there were protests in Iran. There were like, you know, riots that then were happening. Who started them is also the big question. Like, there's a lot more, I think, into the sense that then where you can like take your time to back up, learn or whatever that then you have to do, and not necessarily like immediately post about something. Yeah, you know. True. And I think that's like one of the best things was friend of mine, also listener of the show. So if you are listening to this episode, hi, thank you. I'm not going to call you out by name, but posted they are Iranian. They were like, just like, you're better off not saying anything. Like, you do, like, you're doing so much damage by then trying to be like a good lefty that then you're not even listening to then like the left internally in the country. You know, America. And that's kind of always my position with it too, is that then if like, if I'm like lost on something, well then what statement can I find from, you know, internal leftists within the country, right? Like, that was the thing too when people were like looking at like, oh, what does the PLFP say about what's going on right now, right? And it took a very clear line from the PLFP that they're like in marching alongside in the resistance, this and that and that, da, 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 da. They're not condemning it, blah 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 blah, you know. And same thing with like Venezuela, of like, you know, while the like left in Venezuela has had a lot of problems with then the Maduro government as well, the statement of that then it's like, obviously removing him in that way is illegal, you know, like, yeah,
exactly.
It's simple.
That's the thing, like, we have to put aside our personal feelings on like these people. Like, I'm not gonna fucking go and defend the Iranian government, but like, bombing the country,
that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. No, but like, or Maduro, right? Like, sure, I'm not gonna go.
Oh, no. I will legitimately defend Maduro. that is one that then I will not budge on.
No, I know. But like, the other kind of like leftists or whatever that they're posting about this, it's like, it doesn't, like, the point is not Maduro. The point is not the Iranian government. The point is what these other governments are doing to this country, these other countries that they should not be involved in, like, at all.
Yeah.
Like, that is the point is not the people in charge of those countries. It's just the fact that there's two other countries that are just bombing, like, and killing school children. Like,
yeah. I think a perfect segue into the sense of that then it's like, where we then currently stand today within the world of that then it's like,
yeah,
on, what was it, Saturday morning, right, European time, right, mm-hmm. that, you know, Israel and the United States actively go and bomb Iran. One of, I think, the most notable things is that they hit a school, a girl's school.
Yeah.
In the north of Iran, that then I have seen recently the death toll being 85 school children have been killed in that. Obviously, then the top story as of today has been the sense that then Ayatollah Khamenei was assassinated by Israel, which this is then the thing that I, and oh, and my favorite story has been that the United States has issued a return home for all Americans.
Yeah.
Salute. I'm leaving the show, guys.
What was, exactly. What was the operation called? I sent you the
name. Operation like Epic Bacon or something like that. Operation Epic Fury. That's what
Epic
it is.
Epic Fury. That is so embarrassing.
Yeah, our fucking Reddit ass government.
Yeah, no, literally.
I mean, Reddit for multiple reasons, right? Pedophiles and, you know, lame. Yeah.
And yeah, so, it's like they're wearing a fedora and just going like epic fury.
Well, actually, exactly.
I
mean, like, this is the most Reddit vibe government in the world, and it is like, I don't know, it is the sense too of the thing that I just don't understand as well with how Israel and the United States understand the world is that thing, because, you know, Israel does this all the time, right? They do these, they think that the world functions that if you like chop the head off of the snake, then the snake dies. However, that then no government or organization or whatever like functions that way. This isn't like, you know, this isn't like Nazi Germany or whatever, where it's like Hitler actually then being removed from power actually would have probably changed a lot. Maybe not even actually, like, in the sense of how Nazism like functioned militarily and whatnot. So it's like, okay, fine, you kill Khomeini, and then what? Like, there is like obviously a form of procedures that would exist that then, if this were to happen, you know, like, I don't understand, like, Israel kills, like, the thing that's even weird is that then they do this thing and then it just makes their cause more powerful. Like, you know, Israel killed.
Yeah, now he's a martyr. The head.
Yeah, right. It's like you kill, like, these guys are, you guys claim that they're in a religious conflict with you, right? And then the one thing that then being killed in the religious conflict and it just like elevates you to like an immortal statehood or sainthood or martyrdom. Like,
yeah.
That would be the last thing that then I would want to do, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, but, no, for sure. Yeah, I don't know. It's so. The funny part. Well, it's not funny, but it's kind of funny. You know how Iran retaliated and just started bombing Dubai as well.
Again, how can I hate this country?
I was scrolling on Instagram. I don't know why my Instagram knows me so well. It's kind of scary. But I was scrolling through reels, and I get this reel from this white twink, like posh British dude, because they also just, they so happened the missile, I don't know how they did it, but it hit like a very fancy hotel in Dubai. Like the fair something like that. And the guy is like in a pool, like a rooftop pool, like next to the hotel. And he's like, oh my God. And it's like kind of filming it.
It was one of the Shahad drones, wasn't it too? Like, yeah, if I'm not mistaken. So. Yeah. Because I remember that I saw a bunch of videos of them, these, and I'm like, oh, okay, it's very hilarious to me that then that, because I've mentioned this on the show before too, that there is something like hyper psychological about those drones, because they're just, they look like a plane just flying into something. So I love that they did that in Dubai, like creating like not only just the sense of like, oh, you're not safe, but then the psychological terror of these like slow moving things just barreling into a building and exploding. Yes. Put fear into every crypto loser and influencer that is in Dubai. Salute. I mean, you're Dubai and Israel, two of the fakest places on earth.
Yes.
Do it. Oh, I saw a really like just an absolutely sick video of apparently like U.S. military missile defense systems weren't working very well. So there was an instance where then they tried to shoot, they shot three, you know, deterrent missiles at one of these. I guess it must have been like a hypersonic missile or something like that, because Iran's been getting a lot of those from Russia and from China, and it missed, like all three of them miss and just fucking like just goes right into a building. And you're like, they've done it. They've cracked the code. They figured out how to successfully attack. I mean, like, what is it? Also, Israel had 41 confirmed hits. Like, Iran had 41 confirmed hits in Israel, which a few years ago was like unheard of, because everyone was like, oh, you know, the Iron Dome works, it doesn't actually work. There was then also the missile attack that Iran did, where then allegedly only a couple of missiles hit or none of them hit. But it was that then Iran was actually just using them to figure out what Israel defense systems are and how to then exhaust them. And then here we are that then that like Tel Aviv, I think if I'm not mistaken, is still on like military sanctioned like media blackout because they don't like when it gets out that they're actually like vulnerable. And my favorite type of video has come back. Guess who's in my feed again? That's right. Daniel.
No,
whatever his
I haven't
is.
Blocked. So you can't jump scare.
No, not him. Ah, I think I have him blocked as well. Other Israeli influencers being in a bomb shelter and be like, look who I met, my good friend Daniel. And he just like and his just fucking, you know,
jump scare, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've
his
seen
his like haunted Ozembic face popping through and beautiful.
I would rather be
Daniel Ryan Spalding. That's his name. How could I forget? How could I forget our Croatian Catholic king?
Jesus fucking Christ. Is he still wearing a Star of David?
Always, of course. Absolutely.
Just
yeah.
crazy. That yeah. is so insane to me.
I mean, like, I do appreciate the fact that then that he, like, he kind of had to grind for that view a bit. You know, like
to
you,
be insane.
You're an unfunny. Yeah, you're an unfunny comedian in Berlin. You're a like, yeah, you're just like you're a lonely sex pest or whatever. The alleged stories
allegedly.
Are with him. The alleged
let's not
stories,
get sued.
Right? Let's not get in trouble. And then you like move to New York. You find like a rich Israeli boyfriend, and then he like you know, which I don't want to be rude, but it's like. Isn't like aren't you supposed to like sugar daddy like shouldn't your sugar baby be hot?
I mean, hey, beauty's in the eyes of the beholder, I guess.
I mean, yeah, true, but like
no,
I don't
know. It's crazy. Like
I get it in the sense when it's like, you know, you see like a like, you know, especially like with like gay men where it's like, oh, you have like a you know, whatever, like the stereotype, right, of like the young, beautiful little twink
and then
that you just kind of like bring around. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like that one makes sense. It's like, but, you know, but yeah, you're right. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And
no,
maybe
the problem is that this guy is just fucking insane. But I guess like his boyfriend must be also insane, obviously.
Yeah.
Because as you said, like he started being a Zionist psycho once they met, which is
no. He was always a Zionist.
Well, yeah, he was always
remember,
a Zionist,
remember.
But like he, you know, grifted harder towards that, I guess. Which is hilarious and sad. And I don't ever want to see him again on my feed. You put him on my feed the other day, and I don't like it. The coexist.
I didn't. That was that was Isaac posting too hard. Yeah, remember what you're falling for. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, Jesus.
But remember. Now we just ended up talking about our favorite boy, right?
Yeah.
he would like go before he even like moved to New York or like moved to Tel Aviv or whatever the fuck he's doing now. Also, the funniest thing could happen. I'm not going to finish that sentence. just saying, or not saying rather, but remember he would like film videos of himself in front of Berghain being like, where are all the cute Israeli boys? You know, yeah, this was like years ago. He always always had this hilariously German fetish of Israeli boys. Like it came from a very like racist place.
Yeah. me with Irish men. Sorry.
That's tight. No, that's cool though. It's
yeah,
it's,
because it's they're not usually Irish people are not as insane as Zionists.
Yeah, they're normally quite sound and they're nice.
Yeah,
I get it. I you know what? Of the one the one stereotype of then like a lot of women being into Irish men. That's like the one that I fully get behind and understand. Yeah, I fully support it. It's the only type of fetishism I will allow. All right. Anything else?
Thank
cringe?
You for validating me, Nick.
That's yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, like, cause I mean, yeah. Anything else if I hear like, oh my God, like this is one that then so German pill, like just too Germany for me. My favorite version of this type of shit is like, I'm going to throw so many people under the bus right now. I'm sorry. I'm not going to mention anyone by names. but it was very funny in the sense of, no, it's not anyone that I, it's not like personal friends of mine or whatever. Okay, it's the things okay, I've okay. observed being a little
You've
fly
heard,
on the wall.
Yeah.
I've heard, no, I've seen. The amount of like white German women in the Palestine movement that just like fetishize Arab dudes is so bad.
Oh, yikes.
Like, it's real bad. You know, I mean, you know, it happens in any movement, right? When you're like dealing with the, but it's like there is something, I don't know what it is with German people. They like can't, they can't turn off that, like, you know, that type part of their brain. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's the thing too of like, you know, I mean, because like you lived up here in Wedding near like where I live. And you know, like where you have like Kongostrasse.
Oh yeah,
you know,
oh, geez, yeah.
It's like imagine the German who is so so stoked to live on that street. You know that that person's real.
Finally, I made it to the Africa Quarter in Wedding.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like it's the thing too of like Germans love doing like they'll like do like a thing at like the Volkshochschule where it'll be like African drum course.
Oh Jesus!
You know,
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I will
or
yeah, go on, go on.
Oh no, or just like, you know, with the Cuba movement, right? Like how much like Latino fetishization is there too.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I've never cringed harder than going to see there was this like Palestine Film Fest thing a couple of years ago and they showed this documentary and then they had a Q&A with one of the people in the documentary. It was of the West Bank and this guy was still in the West Bank. It was like remote. And just the questions, man. Just like why Germans are just so fucking cringe. Just being like also just asking him like, oh, what can we do to, I don't know. It was just really weird. Like the vibes were really weird. It felt very like victimizing themselves as well. Right. And then just like, it's like the land acknowledgement thing of like the American Institute or whatever. Like, it felt like that. Right. Like, just very like almost like acting like sorry for being white and having privileges, which sure you should be. But like, people of color don't want you to be groveling like in front of them. Like,
yeah.
It's weird.
You should just, yeah, yeah. It's
like, you should
it's,
acknowledge
it's
your
weird.
Privilege without being like, oh my God. I'm sorry. What can we do? Just like, bro, stop being weird. Also, it's not their job to educate you as well. Like, you know.
Yeah. I think that that's very much the thing that then like differentiates like actual like liberalism from then like socialism, right? Is in the sense of that's like you said, there is this sense of acknowledging the sense of like the historical framework in which you exist, in which you have benefited and privileged from. Sure, great. We all should do that, whatever. Like, but then doing that like extra next step of that, then where you do the thing of that, then, oh, well, actually by me checking my privilege, I'm the victim.
Like, yeah. It's so weird.
Is the,
Germans, why Germans
Germany is the
doing
best
that.
At it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Where it is, it's like, how do I make myself the center of attention? Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh,
by showing
you know, so
how much of a good white I am.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. Yeah.
And how much of an ally I truly am. And how not like my Nazi grandparents I am, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's so much into the sense too that then where I've like gotten in conversations with the Germans about it and they're like, well, oh, like we live in like a special thing because of the Holocaust. I'm like, but you don't, you know, you've just made yourself out to be the most special genociders ever. And instead of doing then like the realistic thing or that then realizing ideologically how this happens, you've just weirdly somehow made yourself a victim them in the thing that you did. So you were doing just like the weirdest form of apologia of like, oh, no. Actually, the Holocaust only could have come genetically and ethnically from Germans because they have the Hitler particle, you know, yeah, and we're right. just we have DNA, we have yeah. German original sin that can never be forgiven, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's why the anti-Deutsch movement is fascist, right? Because they believe in like genetic, like teleological Germanness, right?
Yeah. It's like we've talked about this with guests on the podcast as well, like Jewish people in Germany as well. It's just like, especially if you're a left, like they were like, yeah. Every time I go to a party with German people and they know that I'm Jewish, they are weird. about it, like they're weird about it by trying to be too nice and like kind of apologetic and it's just like what like it's so weird. They don't imagine I went around to like South America just saying I'm sorry to everybody that I meet. Yeah. Like that is
lo siento.
Yeah. Yeah, like It's weird, and they don't want your weird vibes and sympathy and I don't know.
No, yeah. I mean, we could go on talking about forever for this, but yeah, that is definitely. I don't know how we ended up here. That's fine. I don't know the world. I think it's the sense that then like we had originally like a real episode planned, then like the world is just like on. We're on like the verge of nuclear war for like the 9 millionth time in 3 years.
Yeah, exactly.
And I just can't keep up anymore. And it just feels so daunting in the sense of it's like I'm like we're in this era where everything is getting so much like so significantly worse. And it's like I feel no hope because, yeah, exactly like that. I'll go to like an event or something like that and everyone will just be like fucking victim blaming themselves or whatever. I'm like, OK, we are getting nowhere.
Yeah.
At least not in these form of politics. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, really hosting. I'm guilty of this, too, because I literally hosted a talk a few weeks ago. But it's like, yeah. All these talks are really going to fucking jet set the revolution, right? Yeah, like we just shit sucks.
Yeah, it does. It does. So we keep shit talking Germans. And
that's right. Exactly.
Okay.
That is the only way that I can feel good about this scenario. That the knowing that then that the place that I live in is terrible and it's fine, and we all feel better by doing so.
Exactly.
But anyway, on that note, keep shit talking. Keep hating. We will see you on the bonus episode.
Bye-bye.
Take care.